Hi, welcome back to Eat Your Crust podcast. I'm Jisoo.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Michelle.
Welcome back, Michelle, to the podcast. Last you were on, I believe, was way back episode 97, The Stolen Sticker. Which is a good one. We talk a lot about how like fast fashion steals a lot of art from small and local creators. It's a whole thing, and it's a very interesting journey that Michelle went through with Shein stealing at least one of her designs. But we have Michelle to join us to talk about something else, which we will get to in a second after, of course, we talk about our Gen Z word of the week.
Yep. I mean, this is what I'm actually here for.
For the education or for confirming our theories and thoughts?
No, for all of it. The culture, the education, the different perspectives. Yeah.
All right, guys. So I chose a word that we all know, but it's pretty funny because Gen Z basically embellished the word. So the word is period, except it has a T at the end. So like period. Yes.
No, thank you so much for clarifying, because my dumbass partner, when Crystal said period with the T, was like, Tyrion? No, that was unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Yeah, period. Honestly, I don't use that word much, but I know it. I understand like the level of sass that comes with it. Period.
So I think I first saw this word on TikTok. And on TikTok, you know how people usually put like captions? So they were saying like period. And then in the captions, it was like period with the T at the end.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like immediately I understood, especially because they were talking too. So I could hear the emphasis in their voice and all of that. But I was like, oh, okay, this is like interesting. Like they added an extra letter for extra emphasis.
Well, my question is, like, do you pronounce the T? And if you do pronounce it, how do you pronounce it? Is it like period, kind of like a offhanded spike up in the emphasis there? Or is it like period to...
Jisoo, it is absolutely the first one that you did.
I guess that makes sense.
I've heard it where people are like period, where it kind of is like the D and the T just blend together. Mm. But there's also where people say like period t, and they like really emphasize it.
I guess it's because this word is kind of meant to say you agree with someone or like agree with your own point wholeheartedly. So it would be a more like strong emphasis rather than a trailing off of the T.
Period.
Or like kind of or like an end of a discussion.
Yes, yes.
No more needs to be said. Period.
Yeah, very true. And I guess maybe because like D is harder to emphasize at the end, because you'd be like period duh, I guess. Duh. But it sounds a little, I don't know, aggressive maybe. But with the T, it's like a little more, I don't know. It just gives a different vibe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to start using it more. That's how we'll end the pod today, you guys, period. Instead of in, don't forget to eat your crust, it's gonna where I'm going to say period. We're changing it today.
You're like, don't forget to period.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
We didn't really talk about how it's used in a sentence, but I think most people can imagine. It's like you say something and then you just add period at the end. Because it's, you know, it's ultimately grammar. So it works just like regular punctuation.
To me, this is almost one of those Gen Z words that just live on the internet. I don't think a lot of people I see regularly in real life say this as often. It's like almost purely a TikTok word for me. Every time I hear someone say it, I'm like, damn, that was sick, but I could never pull this off. And if someone yeah. in my vicinity said this, I would be like, whoa, that's like a big step for you.
You gotta say it after you unleash like a hot take.
Ooh.
Like, Chips Ahoy are better than Oreos, period.
You're, like, doubling down.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard it in general?
I think, well, as a lot of, like, Gen Z slang terms are, it really goes back to, like, black vernacular. It's not something I hear often among just, like, my circles, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Internet, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really rare to hear it. I mean, I've heard it a couple times, and it always makes me laugh because I'm like, that's a good word. But I always think about how period without the T was kind of like a big saying when we were really young. Like, I felt like saying, yeah, blah, 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 period was really cool, like, back in the day. And now Gen Z has put a T on it. It just sounds so much cooler than we were saying it, like, the way we were saying it in, like, third grade or whatever. So it does make me laugh from time to time.
Imagine with other punctuation, like, comma.
Exclamation.
Semicolon.
I feel like I might have heard other words where they threw on the T for emphasis, but for some reason my mind is blanking and I can't think of any specific other word. I think period is like the most iconic, so that's why I brought it today for our Gen Z word.
Wait, I thought of one word where they put on a T.
Oh my god, what is it?
It's like, you know when people used to say hoomst?
Yeah.
There is an extra T at the end, but that one phased out fairly quickly. I feel like it was like a month or two where it was funny.
That's right. What is it about the T?
It's the sassiest consonant.
I guess now that we've discussed it so much, I'll probably start using it. It's probably going to be part of my regular vocab now, especially because we're ending the podcast, this episode, with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
Stay tuned for the ending. Well, thank you for joining my Gen Z word discussion of the week. Now we can move on to the actual topic. And our actual topic for this week is making connections at work. So to kind of expand on that a little bit, it's not only just having a friendly relationship with your coworkers, but it's also going above and beyond that. I think sometimes coworkers can become friends, and then there's like the whole next step of like hanging out outside of work. And then, you know, from there, there's just a lot more possibilities. And we felt that Michelle is someone who really excelled at this, and it was inspiring for us to see. So we've invited her on to talk about this whole phenomenon with us.
That is really kind. The fact that you guys invited me on for a third episode is really kind. So thank you for having me here again.
I was fully expecting you to be like, period.
Yeah, period. You're so right. Yeah, let's talk about coworker friends.
Yeah, well, I think we can start with a step that is in one way the most organic, but in other ways can feel pretty intimidating, especially if you're new at the company or haven't found your bearings yet. So how do you take a coworker from the coworker stage to the friend stage? When you're interacting with someone and you're like, oh, this person is nice, how do you know if there's potential there to go beyond a work relationship and into a potential real life friendship?
Yeah, I've been really lucky. The past two places I worked at have just been like female dominated. All my teams were like 100% or like 90% woman. You can't catch me working with another man, dude. After that, like, working with women is the way to go. So that's a huge part of it, right? Other women are just obviously so relatable, and like, it's fun because women, we love talking about like when everyone gets engaged, when people get pregnant, when people, I don't know, I'm like, I'm on my period, I can't really work today. They're like, get it, like, understood. So that was huge. How about you guys, men, women? I don't know.
I think I do like to work with women a little more. Men are like, not bad. But I think, of course, I gravitate more towards, like, women in general. But actually, like, in one of my earlier teams, everyone was a man except for me. And we actually vibed all right. Like, it was a pretty solid team. And I think it was maybe because we had met and, like, connected with each other. And it was, like, pre-COVID. So, you know, we were all going in the office. And it felt a little more natural where things progress, like, oh, nice to meet you. We also all got hired at the same time. So I think that like kind of helped. We're like, okay, like we're all new. Like, let's just hang out with each other and be friends, I guess.
Yeah, I have to imagine like the industry you're in has a big impact on this too, because the industry that I work in, and also specifically my company, it's also like 80%, 90% women from like junior level employees all the way up to the C-suite. I don't think I've met anyone at my company who's like presumably around my age and also male. So I think that's kind of one of the big things to me when I sort of suss out like coworker friends. I notice that a big factor is kind of age, which sounds a little shitty in a sense, but it's just harder to be like real life friends with someone who's 15, 20 years older than you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also in like a work context too. It's other than just like seeing people and like kind of gauging how old they are, like sometimes it can be tough to know how old people are.
Yeah.
Especially now in like remote, you were saying, Crystal, like pre-COVID, way easier to make friends. At my old company, going into the office every day, I had like a solid group of like a girl gang. And we ate lunch together every day. Or we'd go out to eat and we'd stay after and have happy hours. And I would say we were all within like 10-year range, age range. Mm-hmm. But at first it was like hard to see. I thought one of my girlfriends from my earlier job, I thought she was, at the time I was what, 22, 23? I thought she was like 23, 20. She was in her 30s. Oh, you can't tell that shit. Like,
Yeah, another thing regarding age range, actually, I think for men at work, the further apart our ages are, the harder it is for me to befriend them in any way other than just like a professional friendly relationship. I think if they're closer to my age, it's a little easier to befriend like the men at work.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. And I think also what comes with the age range too is, I guess, their seniority level or their title at work.
Absolutely.
I feel like for me, there's like a mental block. So my company is a little bit smaller, so the levels are also like tighter in a sense. So people can climb to director or VP quicker than in other industries. But I feel like if someone's a VP, I'm like, okay, then I can't be friends with you, sort of. Like, just absolutely not. I can't do it. Like, you are my superior. Like, we'll keep this boundary extremely firm, you know?
Yeah. You're like, sorry, your job makes it impossible for us to be friends.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm lucky that both my past jobs, I got really, really close with my manager, who at the most was like two levels above. And I will say, sometimes that line between, I'm literally your subordinate, like that line was, and between friend, was like really blurry at times, and sometimes could be a little uncomfortable. It's better now that like they're no longer my managers and we can like freely talk about things, but there were lines that were crossed sometimes when I was like, I don't know if we should be talking about this. It's kind of strange.
I guess it makes sense though, because like out of anyone in the company, your manager is like the person who most likely is like the most on your side out of, you know, anyone else. Okay, I have this theory that's like not as strong now, but I think like especially during new grad times when we're like 21, 22, freshly out of school, your first manager is almost like a pseudo parent.
Yeah. I feel that.
But now that we're like, you know, late 20s, like getting older, there's less of that parent vibe and more of a maybe like a older sibling vibe maybe, or even just like, you know, figure to help you.
Yeah, mentor. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think like if you look back at some of the work friendships that you've successfully made, was one of the biggest factors how often you worked with them in real life and that's how you got close to them through like projects and just proximity and things like that? Or was it more like you like their vibe at the cafeteria and you walked up to them and said hi, or they were like your friends mutuals or something like that?
In my older job, one of the girls on my team, the coolest, right? Outside of work, I really liked hanging out with her. But when I had to work closely with her, that was tough, you know, like outside of the project, coolest person ever, sweetest, you love them. But then like when you have to work together and then when people drop the ball or don't meet expectations, I'm like, that was tough. Yeah. So I preferred being work besties, work wives with the people outside of my team. So I didn't have to see them. I didn't have stake in their in our professional work things.
Actually, that is such a good strategy, I think. Because you're right, like, if you're too close with someone and you're, like, you know, working on projects at work, sometimes it makes it harder almost to be like, yo, you need to, like, pick up your slack or whatever, right?
No, it was super uncomfortable. Like, I would bring it up to my manager and they're like, you have to talk to her about it. And I have to, like, be like, you're so cool, but your work is not. Like,
oh my God. Like,
please, like, I adore you as a person, but you need to fucking step it up. Like, yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of, like, group projects in school where, you know, the desire is to work with your friends, but sometimes that's, like, not the move, you know? Sometimes you just gotta pair up with the person who you know is gonna do the most work with you and, like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, at my first job, the girls I was best friends with, like, we had a group, and what's really nice is, like, we were called all kind of, like, Asian American or Asian. I think that was a really big factor as well. And within, like, a 10-year age range. And most of them I didn't have to work directly with, which was great. And then it was just like lunch, coffee, water cooler talk. And then started to be stuff outside of work. And we can complain about our own teams, own managers without, you know, it was a little, there was distance there.
Right. I actually made a friend in one of my previous teams who was on my team with me. Mm-hmm. But we didn't really work directly together that much. It was more like he was kind of my project manager. So, like, the work that I did was more individual. And then I'd be like, hey, this deadline, we need to push it back. Or this deadline's good, you know. So I guess in that sense, it was like we're still a team, but we didn't have to work directly together too often.
Yeah.
That friendship ended working out pretty well. Like, even to this day, we still catch up very occasionally.
Yeah, like, when you work tangentially, like, touch points instead of, like, the whole way, like I had with this friend coworker. It was like, no. It was not it. I was not happy.
Yeah, I think, like, there is a certain formula to success for work friendships, and I totally agree that when you are not always feeling only positive feelings about someone in the work capacity, then you might be afraid that it would bleed into, like, how you see them as a person outside of work, which is obviously not ideal. And this is kind of random, but I was kind of thinking about how we talked about friendships in school were so strong, potentially due to trauma bonding in our last episode with Jin. I feel like there's a part of that at work too, where, you know, if a project is really tough or a certain deadline is making you work long hours and there are other people kind of in that game with you, then it might feel easier to kind of see them as a friend. But I feel like it was kind of a lesson for me to learn when I first started working, where I was like, oh my God, we, like, kind of trauma bonded over work. Like, this person is great. Like, I think they're cool. We've done happy hours and, like, lunches and coffee and all these things. And then when they leave the company, I find that we're actually not as close as I thought we were.
No.
Or it, like, didn't ever solidify into, like, long-term friendship outside of work. And then now we're just Instagram mutuals, kind of.
Aww.
No, I actually totally know what you mean, Jisoo. At my previous job, like, my coworker who sat next to me, different teams, same position on either team, she was my work wife. I saw her 9 hours a day. I like adored her and we hung out outside, but like once the pandemic hit and we weren't seeing each other physically, like that kind of it fizzled a lot. It's hard to come to that realization, you know. You're like, oh, you were really friends just because I sat 2 feet from you. We could
right.
complain about our managers. Yeah
And I feel like part of it too is, especially when it's your first real long-term, like, job, and you have all this pride about it, all this excitement, maybe emotionally you feel more attachment to it than maybe like a later job in your life, I feel like you have a different set of expectations than someone who this is like their fourth or fifth job. They've left companies before. They understand how these work relationships, while great, may not always be long-term relationships, and that's fine. But I just didn't have that realization yet. So I just remember, like, maybe for the first year or so, that I was working at this company, anytime someone left and I thought we had like kind of talked and like had good moments and things like that, I was like super sad.
Like betrayed.
Yeah. And I'm like, why would you leave this company? And now that I'm in like my fourth year, I'm like, I mean, there's opportunities that you might want to go to. And like there's situations that might force you to move to a new job. But just in that first year, it felt like kind of personal. I always went down the emotional path a little bit.
Oh, totally.
This paints a picture in my head of like someone is like young and like never experienced love, and then they like fall in love with these people, but then the older people are like, you know, I've been like burned before, like I'm not so quick to fall in love now.
Yeah. They're jaded now. You like, I've seen it before, I've seen the cycles.
And then the, you know, the young one is scarred, and then they have to go through it, and then eventually they become the one who's like, you know, I've been there, done that, like can't be so quick to get feelings.
Build up that emotional armor. Absolutely. The funny thing, you mentioned trauma bonding, because that's absolutely true. Like at my previous job, my second job, my whole team got laid off. And you know, when we became besties is when we got laid off, not when we were actually at work.
Actually, that is a really good example. I'm sure, because it's very like, I feel like layoffs are something that is always kind of like a back of the mind fear. And then when it actually happens to you, I'm sure it's very like shocking, because it's like, oh, I've known about this, but like, I didn't ever think it would actually happen to me, right?
Yeah, this case, I think in particular, it was because it was such a small company, like 25 people. And my entire team was just like the four of us. We were the marketing team. And then we were all cut at once out of the blue. No one knew, not even my manager, who was kind of higher up in the company as well. But I get, it's fine, because now there's some of my really good friends. And it wasn't from just like the 4 months that we worked together. It was actually the time after we worked together where I got to know them the best, because they would come over to my house and we would cry.
Aww.
Just a little bit. It's good. Like, whatever. It's good. I'm good. I've grown.
Dang.
They're some of my favorite people now.
Trauma bonding, truly hard at work right there.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
And I can totally see how that gives like the four of you a common enemy kind of thing. Oh, like, absolutely. Not necessarily like evil enemy, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then it's just easy for you all to relate to each other and like gang up on that common enemy.
Yeah. Like all of us job searching at the same time, sharing interview things, looking at each other's resume, writing each other, LinkedIn. What is it? Aww. Like referrals or recommendations?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least you don't feel as alone. But at the end of the day, like, we're grateful that the company brought us together, despite, you know, work backgrounds, differences in age. Now they're my homies.
Ooh, that actually brings up a good point. So I think even when you establish a good friendship with your coworkers, whether it's one-on-one or kind of as a group of coworkers / ex-coworkers in this case, I feel like there is another kind of mental hurdle in order to bring them into your social functions where they might mesh with your high school friends or your college friends, or, you know, just people who are friends with you outside of work. And I think that mental hurdle can even exist, even if you know both parties are super cool people, super great people. There might be different vibes, you know, with different friend groups. For example, if with your work friends, you usually talk about work or have like inside jokes about work and things like that, versus with your high school and college friends, you might talk about something completely different. Then how do you sort of make the decision to say, okay, let's just bring all these people together. Like, fuck it. It'll be good.
Yeah, no, I had an event recently where I was like, I'm going to bring all the women in my life together, regardless of social circle. And it was a lot of anxiety. I was pretty fucking nervous, I'm going to be honest. But at the same time, I just was like, how I conned myself, I was just like, you know what? Everyone's cool. I'm friends with all of them for a reason. And then I had a little Galentine's get together. Yeah, Crystal was there. I'll say it. Let's talk about it. And it was weird. In one corner, I had this company co coworkers, and the other corner I had this company, and then over here I had my high school homies, and it was weird at first. There was definitely like high school dance stuff going on where it's just like there was a lot of space in between people, and then I had to, it was a lot of me running around being like, yeah, this, we worked at company together, you can relate to this somehow, right? Please. Yeah, it was just like trying to tie those bonds together, and it was weird because like I was really close with my manager at my first company, really close with my manager at my second company, and then in my head I was like, oh my god, if they met, would they fight? I don't know, like in my head I was just like,
dude, like ex-boyfriends or something.
Yeah, like a battle. Like it felt weird.
Two of my bitches in a club.
yeah. Like, is there gonna be tension? Because they like, no, I was being irrational, and I don't know. I had some anxiety about that, but it's like
understandable.
I was doing the most at this Galentine's, trying to bring people and make everyone relate. Even on the tiniest things.
Well, I think one of the best solutions, of course, is social lubricant, aka alcohol. I got a couple drinks in and then socialized a little more towards the middle and end.
I made sure there was a lot of alcohol there. I'm glad it helped.
Yeah, that's like my number one social crutch.
I wish I had more to say that. I don't know if you know, I don't drink. It's really just pure force, just being like, I have to get through this. Like sometimes I do wish I had that to ease it a little bit, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I can definitely relate to a little bit of that anxiety of like mixing your work friends. I've only really been at one company, so I wouldn't know what to do. Like I wouldn't know how to handle myself if two of my ex-managers were in the same room. I would probably hide. But I think to me, it feels like a really big step. It feels kind of like, okay, you're like my real life friend now. You're going to meet all my other friends and be mixed into my life. No take backsies, sort of. Versus when it's like an isolated friendship with other coworkers or just one-on-one, then it does really feel a little bit more contained. I'm actually really lucky to have someone I'm really close with at my current company. She's actually been on this podcast before. Her name is Chelsea.
Your work wife.
Yeah, she's my work wife. And, you know, still to this day, like one of the closest friends that I have in my life. And I think when she met all of my friends in smaller groups, but also sort of at like our proposal engagement party, I was like, wow, this is so interesting to see her outside of like a work context or outside of just us. One-on-one, any sort of friendship has like a really special and unique vibe based on like you and the other person. But to see someone meet people you knew since you were like 12 or like, you know, people who saw you take the SATs or like think like different history points in your life, and to like kind of walk by sometimes and hear them talking about like you at different stages. I was like, this is crazy, but it's awesome because then your other friends can also see who you are perceived as at work. And I think your friendship with that coworker can also deepen too, because there's a lot more context that they're able to see. And they can also see like who you surround yourself with. But to me, like these kinds of things are so nerve-wracking that I feel like Chelsea is just like a special person. And like, I wonder if some other day, if I'm at like a different company, how things would go if I found someone that I really liked. It's always going to be something that I would deliberate on for a long time before like taking that plunge, I think.
Totally. At the Galentine's, I was telling someone about it, how like different people from really different parts of my life coming together was so strange, like my worlds colliding. And they're like, yeah, kind of like a bridal party. You know, I was like, I guess, right? Like you have all the different women from your life, like that you're really close with come together and you have to meet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an interesting way of looking at it.
You're like, slow down.
Yeah, I was like, I guess. Crystal, actually what you say about like alcohol is so true. Like my little girl gang from work, we like went out to karaoke, and whoa, once you see like this one girl I worked with, like quiet, mellow at work, really chill. Once she had some alcohol in her and like some Mariah Carey on, it was crazy, like different person. And that's when you're like, that's you. That's the real her. It was cool to see. One thing I also wanted to bring up, I think a huge step in coworker to friend is like when you follow each other on Instagram. I don't know. I think that's really big when I'm like, whoa, And then they start to see your like stupid stories in your posts.
Oh, that's a good point. I've actually never shared my Instagram with people from work.
Wow.
Actually, sorry, that's a lie. I haven't done that in my most recent, like, you know, in the past 3-ish years. Mm-hmm. But one of my very first jobs, I did share my Instagram, but most of them don't even use Instagram. So it was like a couple of those people. And it was just like this group of girls who were all in like the similar age at the time. We were like 22 to 30. That was like kind of the age range. So I guess I shared my Instagram with those people. But otherwise, like since then, I've never shared my Instagram with anyone.
Right? It's a big step.
So at my company, it's really normal and common for like everyone to follow everyone. Oh. But when I first started, like I didn't know that. I think when I first started work, I was kind of like, okay, work is work. And then my real life is my real life. There's like a hard boundary kind of. Mm-hmm. And when some of my coworkers tried to follow me, I was like, should I accept this follower? Like, is this normal? And I remember I went through and I scrubbed all my photos on Instagram before I let them follow. Not because there was anything crazy on it, but it's like, if you have pictures of you at like a festival or something and you're like kind of scantily clad, you know, like yeah, I don't know if I want my coworkers who I see for 8 hours every single day to like see that. So I was like, archive. And then I like PG'd it out a little bit and then I let them follow. Yeah. But now I feel a little bit more normal about it. And I'm just like, okay, this is common in my company, so mm-hmm. I won't be weird about it. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of interesting to see like my coworkers' IG grid sometimes, where I'm like, wow, this is so much about your life that I haven't seen at work. Because you're just talking about work at work, you know?
No, yeah, I post really dumb shit on my Instagram. So I was really like, I had to like, I was like gritting my teeth being like, should I accept this follow? Like, I was really nervous. But yeah, it's a big step.
It is. Like, you get such a bigger picture of like who a person is through, you know, the snippets that they post on social media. I also wonder, though, like, for my case, if maybe the people who I work with just don't often use social media. So, like, I've never gotten a follow request, like, in the past, like, 3-4 years or so. I've never had to worry about I guess my thing is public, too. But, like, I've never seen a familiar name, like a coworker, try to follow me. And I think I just never had the desire or curiosity of looking up my coworkers on Instagram or anything either. I don't know, maybe it's an age thing too. My current coworkers are a little older than me, so you know, maybe they're just not super interested in social media.
That's interesting, because I search my coworkers right away on social media the second I join a new team to see how cool they are, if they're cool or not cool. Yeah. Because I just joined a team like 2 months ago and I immediately was like, I don't know.
Who are you all?
Yeah, I was like, I don't have much to do right now. I'm going to just do a little bit of research.
I think that's my impulse too. I'm kind of like, I'm so curious about these people. You get such a limited view on people at work. And I was curious about their life. I feel like something I'm always curious about is like their relationship status. Or, like, are you married? Like, do you have kids? Or are you like single, flirty and thriving, or whatever the phrase is, you know, like that is always so curious to me. And I fucking love when I'm following a coworker and they post their dogs or cats or their like kids. I'm like, this is like the cutest thing ever. And I think in a sense it relieves some of that like work pressure, because I'm like, oh, we might like, we're all going through certain things at work together. And they have like a family and they have like pets, like they're like normal people. And it makes me like them a little bit more, I think, just because you see a more personal and like attached side to them.
Totally. Like this new team I'm on, it's like fully remote. It's just like a contract role. It's going to end in a few months, which I'm like totally cool with. But it's like, because it's fully remote, there's really no personal, like, it's just work. There's no water cooler talk or, like, just, like, how was your weekend chat, which I really, really miss. So, like, whenever I hear, like, a dog barking or, like, their cat comes up and they're like, oh, my God, sorry, it's my cat. And I'm like, no, I want to know about your this random shit that's going on in your life. Like, no, please tell me more. It's so stale right now, my work relationships at the current place, that I like crave that.
I guess that's like a byproduct of being fully remote, like you said. It's harder to make a connection, and sometimes it just like takes longer or like more effort, that kind of stuff. But, you know, you guys talking about all this made me a little curious. So actually, I just searched up a bunch of my teammates on Instagram, just now. And I can't find any of them.
What? Oh, yeah. Off the grid, huh?
So I think my theory rings true that, like, for some reason, a lot of the people that I work with just don't have Instagrams, or at least like searchable Instagrams.
Yo, try Facebook, dude. That might be it. I check Facebook because everyone at one point made a Facebook, right? You might not have an Instagram, that's but true. You'll have a Facebook.
But Facebook is like more likely to be private, and you can't see anything on it, right?
Okay, Instagram, if you're private, you can't see shit. Facebook, you know, there's like different privacy settings on different things. Some true. Things will leak through. No, I've like done this. Like, I'm like, can't find them on Instagram. It's annoying. So I'll like go straight to Facebook and I'll be like, oh, yeah, there it is. I love to see my coworker at Disneyland in 2007. Like, I want to see that shit. Like,
you like go on your coworker's Facebook and you're like, whoa, you played a lot of Tetris back in 2011.
Yeah. Like, I love that. I love to see that.
Oh, that's so funny. Maybe some other people who I will meet at work will have Instagrams or something. But, you know, as of now, I just searched up my whole team. Some of them are like, their names are a little too generic, so there's like hundreds of hits. Some of them, they just, nothing pops up. Actually, there was one that popped up, but they haven't used their Instagram that much, so.
I kind of get a kick out of that too sometimes, like when you look up a coworker and their profile is really old, like they haven't used it in a while, and it's like an old picture of them. And you're like, this is what you look like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I love that.
But I kind of want to circle back to what you said, Michelle, about your current job. So you said it's a contract role and fully remote, which is kind of a double whammy in like the work social life sense. So if you had just one of those things that were active, I guess if it was like a fully remote job, but it was a full-time role with like a longer term, do you think you would approach friendships and like the working social life differently? Or would the remoteness be the bigger hurdle for you?
I mean, it's definitely the remoteness. Okay, I'm just, this is just the way I am. Maybe I'm just weird. I'm like, I really crave human interaction. I am what you may call an extrovert. I like really need to be around people. And if you can't tell, just being completely shut off and just away. And yeah, how am I supposed to like fucking make friends, man? Like, like I want it. Like, I want the water cooler talk. I want to like just peek over my shoulder and like ask them what they're doing. Some of the people on my team are like pregnant. I wouldn't even know, like, just because I see them from the fucking chest up, right? Until they are like, I didn't even know until they're like, yeah, I just got diagnosed with gestational diabetes. I don't think I can. I'm like, oh, fuck. Sorry. Like, on Slack? Like, we're talking about this on Slack? Like, I don't want to. Like, it's so distant and not connected. I don't know. I made such good friends with my coworkers from my last role, even though we got let go after such a short period of time. And that was hybrid. So I was going in and seeing them. But this time, even though it's like a 5-month contract, I would still love to get to know these people. But there's just like no way on remote when it's just 30-minute Zoom meetings.
I get what you mean. I think I kind of experienced that a bit when, like, during COVID, I joined a new team, so I didn't meet anyone in person for a really long time. I didn't feel like we connected as much as, like, my previous team. But then I was like, okay, well, my previous team, you know, it was, like, pre-COVID, so we all met in person consistently and a lot. Now, with the current team, we go into work, like, a couple days a week at least. So now, like, the connections are starting to spark a little more. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, seeing their personality a little more versus before. It's, like, as you said, 30-minute Zoom call. You're just, like, all right, work stuff. All right, see ya. Mm-hmm. See ya next meeting. And then you just go back to your regular old life.
Yeah, like, I was, like, oh, where's this girl? She's gone. They're, like, oh, yeah, she's getting married. And I was, like, what the fuck? How do you know that? Like, how am I supposed to know about anyone's fucking lives when always it's so remote? It's like, I'm like annoyed. I'm like, how would I? Okay, like, oh, that's good for them, I guess. Like, I would love to talk to her about that and get to know her. Like, but nope, she just went away, like, because it's remote. Yeah.
Have you ever tried doing like one-on-one remote coffee chats, I guess?
Yeah, like when I first joined, they were like, yeah, put 15 minutes on the calendar to get to know each other. And then it's so different. I don't know. Like, it's not the same. Yeah, I know. I'm like, yeah, I'm only here for 5 months, but I still want to like get to know you and like get some joy. I don't know. If you don't have work friends, like work is really just work. In my old jobs, when we were coming into the office, at least like half, a little bit of it, at least I get to enjoy social interactions and hear about their lives. And that was part of it. Now this is just purely like just soul sucking corporate work, right? Like, yeah, you're right. I guess I can make more of an effort on my end too, right? To be like, can we just talk? Like, like so I can learn more about your gestational diabetes. Like, I don't know.
It's kind of interesting to me, I guess, because you and Crystal have, you know, similar fields of work, and then I think my role is a lot more meeting heavy and a lot more like all this communication every day. Like, if we're not talking on the phone, we're like on email or on Slack all the time. So I have this one coworker who started remotely. She's actually still remote because she lives across the country. I think because I'm in so many meetings with her, like there are times where I'm in like 5 meetings with her in one day, and I'm just like, okay, like seeing her every like hour or something. And it's interesting that I got to know her like relatively well, like not super well, but relatively well. Cause sometimes there's like downtime when you're waiting for people to hop on the call, or like after the call ends, you're like, oh, can you stay back? And then you talk about something work related and then it fades into something non-work related and things like that. So I feel like the level of meetings does sort of help in terms of like feeling and building connections like socially, even when you're remote. But my experience with her was kind of interesting because she actually flew out to one of our holiday parties. And when I saw her for the first time, I was like, I don't know, like it was kind of emotional for me. And I hope she never hears this because she might not think I'm as like emotionally attached to her at work. But when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, I just like threw my arms around her. And I just like wanted to hug her for like 3 minutes because I was like, we've been through so much. You know?
Totally. Wait, I love that. No, I wish I had that. Like you're talking about how like, yeah, even before meetings start, you can chat. There is none of that at this place. Yeah. Holy fuck. If the PM doesn't join until like a few minutes in, everyone is on mute. Oh, it's so no. Sad. And it's just me going like, it's just me like, I'm the one who goes, hi. And everyone's like, hi. Immediately back to mute. I'm like, cool. Like,
wow.
It's just so shocking. Different. I know, it fucking sucks. So it's just so different from my past experiences with where I like became really good friends with the other, my team and stuff. Yeah, it's really lame, but I'll peace out in a bit.
Wow. Wait, I'm shocked that they just mute themselves. I feel like small talk before a meeting is like a key feature. Like I don't like love it, but it is necessary sometimes.
A yeah, daily like absolutely. Weather check-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's none of it. That's why I'm saying it's so stale, and I'm just like craving anything, any sort of personal information that leaks through. And they all have like backgrounds too, so I can't like be like, oh, cool house. You know, like, no, it's not. Yeah, it's fucking depressing. That's fascinating.
Wait, do they mute and also turn their camera off until the PM or like the manager joins, or do they just stay muted but like camera on?
Their camera's on with their background, and then it's just muted. And it's just me going, hi. Like,
wow, wait, that's so weird.
Yeah, no, it's so weird. So that's why I'm a little sad.
They're just like blankly staring at their computer doing work.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess like I'll peace out in 5 months, and then they'll fucking forget about me, I guess, because we don't know anything about each other.
No. Sometimes, though, I feel like there is a little bit of personality you can add with a virtual background. I've never done this, but I usually have some sort of virtual background on, but I switch it up depending on my mood. Mm. But there's like some really funny people at my company who put up custom backgrounds. Like when we did like a Lunar New Year all hands meeting, they like made their background like Lunar New Year themed. And then once our welcome song to like a different all hands was like Beyonce, and then they immediately put up like a Beyonce background. Oh. And I was like, if I was a funny person, I would totally do that shit. Like that is fucking hilarious.
Dude, I think I just work with boring ass people because you know what their backgrounds are? It's like the corporate background with like the logo. I'm like, okay, you guys, they give me nothing. Nothing.
Like, wait, so it's literally your company's logo as a background, not even like a coffee shop background or like
no.
Oh my
damn.
Yeah, so I'm so there when I'm saying they don't give me anything, there's like nothing to comment on and just be like hey haha, like it's zero.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
dude, they're strictly business.
Wait, yeah.
I know. What's up with that?
I hope your next role has more exciting people.
Yeah.
People who match your energy.
Yeah.
I know. Who say hi. Like, what? You don't even say hello? Like that's crazy in the meeting.
Wow. I will say, though, like, all of our talk has kind of made me reflect a bit. And I think a big part of this, like, turning coworkers into friends, a big part of it is, like, putting in the effort. I mean, aside from Michelle's case currently, you can't just, I guess, wait around for the bond to naturally progress because it might not. It might just hit a point and kind of hit a standstill where it's like, yeah, we're good coworker friends, but there's like nothing more. And nothing more will happen unless someone reaches out, I think. So I was kind of thinking about this, but before I have had like a manager or two, they actually invited me to like do something with them. So one of them was like, oh yeah, I might have this, I think it was like a New Year's thing or something. And they're like, if you're in town, like you can definitely come through. And I was like, whoa. At the time I was very young. So I was like, whoa, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for like a real adult party, you know? And then another time, like someone invited me out for drinks, I think it was like just outside of work, them and a couple of other coworkers. And I was like, oh yeah, like why not? You know, like if I go to this, it'll be outside of a work context. So then that could be like the first step of becoming more like friends than just like coworkers. Sometimes it's like the reaching out or the like being brave and accepting the invitation.
Yeah, maybe that's what I have to do at this fucking company. Just next time everyone's on mute, I'm just gonna be like, I'm just gonna ask like super personal questions, just like like when was your first period? Like just like round table, let's go. Like, you're right, maybe it's me, maybe I have to make the effort.
I mean, I feel like your situation that you've described to us is a little special.
Might be an anomaly.
Yeah. But in the more like general sense, I feel like sometimes it's the effort that like really brings the friendship or relationship to like the next level.
Yeah, I think I can relate to that, Crystal, too, because at certain points in my career, I feel like I wanted a really strong boundary between work and real life. So like I had zero interest basically in making friends at work because I was like, well, it's just work. And like, how close can you and a coworker get? I have like friends outside of work and I feel satisfied in that capacity. So I'll just like work at work and like go home as soon as it hits 6 or whatever. But I feel like it was a bad approach and maybe stemmed from two things. Like one, I just didn't know what coworker friendships look like. And two, I think I was a little intimidated by the friendships that already existed at work because my company is very close and I was like the new person there. So I was like, oh, you know, like everyone's older than me. They're like smarter than me or more experienced than me. And like, I don't know if I could budge into these 3-4 year friendships that already are there. And of course, being at a company like that for a long time, like new people come in, people leave, and there's opportunities to meet amazing people. And being a little bit more confident at work, I was like, okay, like I can make friends and I don't have to just think of these people as like meeples, you know, who like help me do my work or whatever. They're also people with like pets and families and hobbies and goals and all of that. People I can learn things from. And I think once I made that switch to being open to building more personal relationships at work, that's when I felt like 40 hours of my day weren't just committed to like doing the assignment. It was like that me is also real and deserves interpersonal connections and inside jokes and things that make you not hate yourself, you know? Yeah. But that was like a big mental switch for me personally.
Totally. No, you need something in work too, because like I said, if that's stripped away, it's just soul sucking cog in a machine staring at a laptop screen work. You need friends, and I don't have any right now at work. So that's all work is for me right now. But what you said is totally correct, is like joining the past few companies and going in when I was new, like there were already friendships developed and I could kind of just like wedge myself in, which was nice. Yeah, there's none of that here right now going on for me. No one is friends with each other. That's why I was like, oh, maybe everyone's friends with each other and they are friendly and talk and they're social. I came and I was just like, wow, there was just none. Everyone is purely just here to stare at their laptops. I don't know.
I mean, lately I've been bonding with my manager about like TV shows, and I feel like that sometimes is like a pretty good topic to like broach, because you know most people watch something on TV. Totally. And there's a lot of good shows out there, so you'll either end up with like a good recommendation that you can start watching and then bond with your coworkers or whatever with, or they already watch the show and then you just bond immediately talking about like what happened.
Yeah, that's a great one. You would think like even like usually there's like fun Slack channels, right, that are like pets or like funny things, rant. There, none of that at this company I'm at. There's no fun Slack channels.
Wow.
Like for like TV recommendations or podcasts or anything. You're like, yeah, it's really fucking sad. Sorry, I'm gonna stop like complaining and being sad. Like it's, we're talking about the friendships I have made, right?
I think something that I trained myself to do once we went like, you know, kind of in that hybrid mode for a while because of COVID, was to actually answer people's small talk questions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people just throw questions out there. They're like, how was your weekend? And then my usual answer is like, oh, it was good. Just hung out with some friends. How about you? You know, just to like pass the conversation along. And then I was like, dude, I'm like tired of hearing myself say that every Monday in like four meetings, like every single week, right? So then I started like actually thinking about it and like answering it, or having like a story that maybe isn't so personal that's like, oh, like I had this sad conversation with her. You know, it's like not that deep, but I would talk about a new hobby or something fun I did, or even if it was like a small story like, oh, I went to Safeway and can you believe the fucking egg prices, or you know, just like something like tangible that they can grab onto, and it's like more than like a 30 second response. So I think that helped a little bit in terms of how I adjusted to like the hybrid life. And now that we're back in the office, of course, in real life, there's like longer conversations to be had. But I was like, okay, if this remote thing is like sort of longer, then I should also adapt my interpersonal social skills online, which my urge is to just hop off the meeting as soon as possible.
Ooh, that's a good one. I think I'm like in my antisocial era right now. Not that I was ever out of it, but I've been answering the like, how's your weekend with, oh yeah, good, for the maybe like the past 4 or 5 months. So I should probably, I definitely can come up with an answer, I think. A better answer than good. That's a good tip.
You know what? I can't even fucking relate, because no one even asked that. Company. I'm back at it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop complaining. And I'm like, no, you guys, I can't relate anymore because it's not even there.
I do have a question kind of related to small talk, but did either of you remember like a specific question or moment that kind of like led to a friendship really blossoming at work?
I have, I guess, two sort of funny stories. One is with my remote coworker who I feel like emotional attachment to, even though she's like thousands of miles away from me. So with my last name and my first name, it's like very obvious that I'm Korean, even if I don't talk about it. And I think she's really into K-pop, some of like the older K-pop. And once she was like, this is really random. This was after like a 30-minute like TB about like something actually kind of important. She was like, this is kind of random, but do you know 2PM? And I was like, oh shit, I used to stand 2PM back in the day. And then we just like stayed on the call for like 10 minutes talking about like the new concert tickets that dropped and like the new music video and like some of the artists' solo acting careers and stuff. I was so happy that she like took the plunge to just talk to me about it, because until then I was kind of like, oh, she's so far, and like we connect a lot on like work things, but she's so far, you know. And then after that I was like, oh my god, like we can talk about these personal things, and I can also bring things up from time to time, and like there will always be that go-to topic to go for. And my other story is actually with Chelsea. So Chelsea, when she first joined the company, I was in like my anti-social, like work is work, do not contact me outside of 6 p.m. like kind of era. Yeah. And she was like, hey, can I book like a meeting with you? Like I saw you knew how to use these Excel things, and like I would love if you could walk me through it. And I like did not know her at all. We had like talked maybe once or twice at work, and we were kind of like in adjacent teams but not the same team. I was like, oh sure. And then in that meeting room, like shit went down. Like we were like besties after like 10 minutes basically. I don't know, I think I admired that a lot, because for me, if I'm like, oh, this person seems cool, or like I want to talk to this person, it would take a lot of buildup for me, like mentally, to go up and approach someone. But she just like went for it. And literally after that one call, we just like ate lunch every day and like, you know, hung out after work all the time and all of that. And we're still friends. So
that's so cute.
Yeah. I guess these are both like moments that coworkers have reached out. But, you know, it's like learning moments for me where I'm like, I should do this too. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I guess for me, it was deep pandemic, like 2020, and we were working fully remote, and I was like, you know, missing my daily dose of my coworker buddies. I have one friend from my old job. She and I are really close, but I think the one thing that really brought us together, especially when we were remote, was like, I discovered this band called BTS. Have you heard of it? Yeah, like deep pandemic. I was alone a lot. I discovered this tiny, tiny up and coming little band. And I reached out to her because I know she's like a huge ARMY. Shout out Steph. She's probably listening. And then we like fully connected on that. And she like sent me like a whole entire presentation deck on like who is who and like their histories.
That's amazing.
And like,
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And like their quirks and their personalities and all the videos I should watch. And I really appreciated that because I was lacking some real social interaction during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I really, I'm just so glad I had her to connect on that.
Wait, I love that she just had a deck ready for you.
Yeah, absolutely. She's like that. It's great.
Like, how many views does that deck have? I'm sure it's an amazing one too.
Yeah,
it's like
sure
a prezi.
Like, yeah, she like sends it to people who like just recently started.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Inducted.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, Crystal, how about you?
So one of the companies that I worked at, there was like this group of friends that we kind of had that I mentioned earlier. Like we were all 20s to 30s. Maybe there was a turning point there where they're like, oh my god, like another young person, like let's invite her into our group. And they asked me to go out to lunch with them. And then from there, I learned that like, oh, we go out to lunch on Wednesdays. That's like the, you know, the like thing that this group does. So getting invited out to lunch and then like being away from work and just like talking about stuff, I think that was like a turning point probably. Just realizing like, oh, these people like find time to hang out outside of work. Even if it's just like lunchtime and like getting away from the office, they like dedicate that stuff. From there, it just started to like, you know, become more like sometimes after work we would hang out and then I would get invited and I was like, whoa, I'm like making work friends. Yeah, I think what was actually really funny was one time we went out to lunch. my boyfriend at the time was like in town, so he like came through, and then everyone was like so excited to meet him, and that was like a very significant moment, I guess, because it was like, whoa, I'm letting them see, like, really see into my life kind of thing. And it was super funny too, because I think they started like asking him a lot of questions about like, oh, like, are you nice to her, blah blah blah. And then it was so funny because it was like having friends like basically like vet this dude, like make sure that he's like treating you well. And I was like, whoa, like I've never expected to feel or like see this kind of thing from work friends.
Yeah, that's another huge step, right? Like letting people meet your significant other, your partner. You know what really brought me and my coworkers together was when, huge step, when they started letting me swipe through their Hinge.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They'd be like, what? Like, we talk about dating, obviously, of course. But then when they finally were like, you know what? Here you go. Check out some of the men on these apps for me. I don't know. Yeah, that was huge. That was really exciting.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Dude, should I do that at work to further my bond with my teammates?
Yeah.
We're all women.
Yeah, for real. No, my manager's let me swipe her through her Hinge. I'm not even kidding. And I was like, if I'm the reason you find your husband,
oh my
like,
God.
That's a story. Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah. My manager is married, so she probably like missed the, you know, opportunity to be on apps. So she might be like, yo, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Hot tip. Let your coworkers swipe through your Hinge, you know, to you want to get close quick. Yeah. Hand them your phone.
That's so good, because then they would ask you to like, oh, what's your type? You know, like, who should I be swiping no on and who should I be looking out for on the app?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot about someone really quick.
All right. I like that tip. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us on this episode. I think it was really interesting hearing about all of our different journeys making friends with our coworkers. And for our listeners out there, if you have any tips for making quick, awesome coworker friends, feel free to hit us up on social media. You can find us at Eat Your Crust Pod. And we also have email, eatyourcrustpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We upload new episodes every Wednesday morning. Thanks for listening.
And don't forget to eat your crust, period.